Hi, and thanks so much for joining another episode of Loving This Mama Life podcast. I'm Jamie, and this podcast is all about my experience as a first-time mom. A quick disclaimer before we get started, I am not a medical expert and I have no experience in the medical field, so anything that I say here is just what I've found to work best for me, my family, and my son. So please be sure to talk to your doctor and or your pediatrician when it comes to anything pertaining to your health or your child's health. If you're interested in more information, please check out the show notes. I post Amazon affiliate links there to everything that I talked about. I also have a blog that you should check out, lovingthismamalife.com. And you can find me on Instagram at @_lovingthismamalife and on Facebook at @lovingthismamalife. Welcome back to the podcast. Today I wanted to talk about kids and food allergies and sort of my experience with my sons. He has a couple food allergies and how we came to discover them and sort of the process we went through. When my son was newborn, he was probably 2 months old. I would pump breast milk, but we would also give him formula. And we had tried a couple different kinds and we had landed on Infamil Genalese. And I can't remember if it's Similac or Enfamil. I think it was Enfamil. It's called Genalese and it's sort of like Genalor on their stomach. And he had a lot of problems with colic and gas and fussiness and not pooping well and all kinds of things that would happen. And as a new mom, I was just very like hypersensitive about the fact that he wasn't eating. And so there was a couple instances. There was one day where he just refused 2 bottles. Knowing what I know now, chances are that part of it could have been due to the fact that he was overtired, because I have learned now that an overtired baby can really mimic a colicky baby. So maybe he was colicky, maybe he was just overtired, maybe it was a mixture of both. But he skipped 2 bottles. And what I mean is we gave it to him and he would just like move his head away from the nipple and wouldn't take it and screamed and screamed and screamed. And so it was a weekend and we called the pediatrician on call. And they said you should take him to the hospital because that's not enough calories. And they were concerned about any sort of like intestinal or stomach blockage. So we took him to the hospital and the ER doc checked him out. Of course, he fell asleep on the car right over. He'd been screaming for hours. And as soon as we put him in the car to go to the hospital, he fell asleep. So he was peaceful and quiet when we got there. And the ER doc checked him out and said that all of his vitals looked fine. Everything looked good. His thought was that he could be developing a milk allergy or a milk sensitivity. And I am lactose intolerant. And my husband has a little bit of lactose sensitivity. So it could totally have been true. So he suggested that we speak to our pediatrician the following week and sort of get some try and figure out with our pediatrician sort of what was going on. So I made an appointment with our pediatrician, and so the next week we went to see him, and he said, yes, it definitely could be a milk thing. And so he gave us a sample of Similac's Alimentum, which is Enfamil. Man, now I can't. Nitramigen is one of them, and Alimentum is the other. I think it's Similac Allomanthum, and Enfamil makes Nitramigen. And they're both very similar in that they're for milk sensitivities. They still have lactose in them, but they're broken down so tiny that they're way easier to digest. And literally, we noticed within one bottle that his behavior changed, and his fussiness changed, and his gassiness changed, and his demeanor changed. So it was great to find out that, like, that was the deal, and that was solved that problem, and it was great. Fast forward to, he was, let's see, probably about 9 months old, maybe 10 months old. He had come home. I picked him up from daycare, and he was at like an in-home daycare. It was a woman who took care of him, and there was four kids there. Very nice lady, an older lady. She's very sweet. Had really high recommendations and references, and we were lucky to find a spot there, and he loved it there. I picked him up one day and put him in his car seat and noticed that he had hives all over his face and on his hand. And I thought, well, that's really weird. I wonder, you know, he must have gotten into something. It was very strange. And didn't think too much of it, because by the time we had gotten home, it was about a 20-minute drive. By the time we got home, they were gone and there was no problem. And he ate, you know, a small dinner and had a bottle and was fine. We put him to bed, and my husband and I were sitting eating dinner, and we heard him crying. And he doesn't typically, once he goes to bed, he's out and typically doesn't cry. And we looked at the camera in his over his crib and noticed that it was wet next to him, like he had thrown up. So we went in and got him and picked him up, and Mike was changing the sheets. And I was holding him in his room. Actually, I took him into the bathroom to sort of clean him up a little bit and give him some water. And I was wiping him down. And while I was holding him, he threw up again on me. And this time I could hear his little tummy go, like it was like cramping up. And then he went, bleh, and threw up on me. So then I got in the shower with him and stayed in the shower for like 20 minutes. And he just kept throwing up. So then we took him into his room and put his diaper on him. And he was so tired, he wanted to go to sleep. But his body had a different idea. No diarrhea, just vomiting. And like forceful vomiting. And this, we took him in his room, we laid a bunch of towels on the floor underneath his face so we could like swap them out if they got dirty. And put him on his side, on his stomach. And we just sat with him and kind of rubbed his back, and he would fall asleep. And then like every 20 to 30 minutes, you could hear, just sitting next to him, his stomach go, and he'd cry out and then throw up. And once all the milk and everything in there was gone, it was just like heaving, like dry heaving, which was super scary. But that lasted on and off for 2 to 3 hours. And then it would happen every 20 or 30 minutes. So once we sat on the floor with him for an hour without throwing up, we put his jammies on him, put him in his bed, and he was fine until the morning. Woke up in the morning, ate fine, behaved fine. We kept him home from daycare thinking, you know, he must have a bug or something, but he was fine. It didn't happen again. 2 weeks later, give or take a couple days, same scenario. I picked him up from daycare, and he had red splotches on his face, and shortly after putting him to bed, he threw up for hours. And I had spoke to the daycare, the lady who ran the daycare, after the last episode, and I said, please don't give him anything other than we send. He might be reacting to something. She's like, I won't. And so she said that she didn't. She had a canister of his formula also. So I have to believe that she didn't, and he must have gotten into something. Either picked up another kid's bottle and tried to drink that was milk, or I don't know what. But this throwing up situation happened 4 times in a 2-month span while he was at this daycare. And needless to say, we switched him to another daycare, and it's never happened since. But that's beside the point here. She's a very nice lady and a very good caretaker, so I'm assuming something happened by accident. What? I don't know. So we took him to see his pediatrician, and his pediatrician said, "That's strange that this happened that many times." So she suggested we see a pediatric gastroenterologist and also an allergist. We saw the allergist first, and the allergist wanted to get a blood test done to check for food allergies and then do a skin test. So the blood test we had done, which was super traumatic for me, my husband held him down while they took his blood, and I just cried right inside the door because they couldn't have too many of us like around him because they needed to do their work. So I just said, "It's okay, it's okay, Mom is here." Well, I'm just sobbing. And then as soon as he was done, Dad handed him over to me, and I got to give him his hugs and comforts and make him feel better. So once that was behind us, 2 weeks later, we went to see the allergist, did the skin test, did the blood test, and the skin test for babies is on their back. And it just involves, like, they poke a little bit of the different substances right under their skin, and they do a control, so they want to make sure that it works. So the control spot should bubble up, and then if they have a reaction to anything else, it should bubble up. And they did the most common allergens. So they did corn, wheat, dairy, peanut, tree nuts, and he had thrown up a couple of times from he had blueberries in his throw up. So they tested blueberries and some other berries just for the heck of it. And the results came back that he was very allergic to peanuts, mildly allergic to dairy, and very small allergen for corn. And the results from allergists are tough because they just measure your body's antibody response to certain types of foods. And it could be that the body's reacting to them because it's never had them, because we had him on like low lactose formula. So he hadn't had milk. We didn't give him yogurt. We didn't give him cheese. We didn't do any of that. And we hadn't introduced him to peanuts yet. So there's both sides of the fence that are very passionate about. One side says you should give them all the allergens very early so they're exposed to them. And the other side says you should wait till they're a little bit older, closer to a year, before you start introducing the allergens so their system has a chance to develop. Our pediatrician wanted us to wait till closer to a year. So that's what we did. And I'm glad we did, because he hadn't had peanuts yet, and he hadn't really had dairy yet. So, and he had had corn. So I was a little hesitant about the corn one, but they said it was so slight that it could just, I mean, we could challenge it at home and keep giving it to him and see if he had any reaction. So knowing that info was super helpful. The doctor said that he could potentially grow out of all of those allergies, but it's very unlikely to grow out of a peanut allergy, which is something, peanut allergies are super prevalent these days, in that the current daycare and preschool that he's at is completely nut-free. You can't have any nuts of any kind. So that's a good thing there. Once he turned, right before he turned 2 and was going to transition at his current daycare from the infant room to the preschool, where they would be in the preschool, they provide snacks. In the infant room, you sent all your own food each day, and that's all that they gave them. But in the preschool, they give morning and afternoon snacks. And they don't have any nuts, but they do have like cheese sticks and string cheese. So I wanted to take him in to get him tested to see if he was still allergic. So we did the blood test again with me sobbing in the corner, and then they did the skin test again at the allergist. And it actually showed that his corn allergy went away, but his milk and his peanut allergy actually increased, which is disappointing. But the allergist said to just continue to avoid both of those, so we do. He was actually hospitalized for asthma earlier or in the later part of last year, which I'll do a separate podcast about that. And they tested him for they tested his blood for allergies and both environmental and food. And those also came back from a separate lab showing dairy and peanuts being very high, and that we should have an EpiPen for him, which we do. And it also showed environmentally that he was allergic to dust and pet dander, which can't do much about dust and pet dander. We have a dog, but she's a cockapoo, so she's a cocker spaniel poodle mix, and since it's poodle mix, they don't actually have a lot of pet dander, so that's a win for us. We don't have to get rid of our dog. Not that I would consider that, but it's a plus. So now we're at this very weird spot where I have a 2.5-year-old that I can't give anything with milk, and I can't give anything with peanuts. We actually were able to sort of test out the milk, kind of, in that we can give him baked milk. So he can have, like, Goldfish crackers, Cheez-It crackers, cookies with butter in them, bread with milk in them. So as long as it's cooked, tolerates it fine. And theoretically, we could start testing out the raw milk too, but I'm just terrified to do it. And a lot of the stuff that I read online about food allergies say there's like a, because of the way that they test for allergies in your body, wherein it's just your body's response to those proteins, if they've never had it before, of course they're going to have a response to it. You know, if you get a strain of the, if you get a cold and then a new strain of the cold, you're going to show symptoms. So my husband is kind of the mindset of like, we both agree we're not going to test out and see if he's actually allergic, but it's a little frustrating. Like, is he really? Like, if we hadn't have gotten him tested, like, would he have really reacted to these things? We may never know, unless we were to find a facility that would challenge these things. And challenging just means they have you try a little bit of it in a medical setting where they can administer epinephrine or like have a hospital nearby just in case. There is a facility down in Long Beach that an allergy institute that does challenges and does what's it called? They have you like I can't think of the word. But they have you like learn to tolerate different foods you're allergic to by introducing them in minute, teeny tiny doses. But it's, that facility is very, very expensive. And the stuff that has to be done in order to do that is really hard to do with a kid this age. So we're going to wait till he's a little older. But, you know, thinking about Halloween coming up, I know with the COVID and the pandemic, people probably won't for a long time be trick-or-treating like we're used to. But still, if he went trick-or-treating, at this point, he can't have anything but Skittles and Starburst, essentially, or Smarties. You know, he can't have the chocolate because of the dairy, and he can't have anything that has peanut butter in it. So that pretty much wipes out most of the good chocolates out there, or candies out there, in my opinion. So it's just sort of, we want to keep him safe. Obviously, we want him to be healthy, but it's a bummer that he's missing out on the fun things like candies and things like that. But the good news is in today's day and age, there's so many kids with allergies and can't eat certain things that a lot of companies have come out with products that cater to those things. So we have, I can't remember the name of it now, but we have a brand of chocolate chips that we like for cookies that's dairy-free, and they also make their own brand of cookies that are dairy-free, and there's another company that I found at Whole Foods and any sort of like healthy type food stores. It's sunflower butter, like peanut butter cups, and he loves them. So I can't remember the names of either of them, but I will put a link to them in the show notes here if you want to take a look at them. But so those are really good alternatives for him, at least, so I don't feel like he has to miss out on stuff. And my birthday is coming up here in the middle of August, and so I'm trying to think, I want to have like a birthday cake, but then what do I give to him? And so when I was researching for his second birthday, a cake, I found out that Duncan Hines frosting doesn't have any dairy in it. So I'm actually going to like make him his own little cupcake and he can just have that. He's not a big sweets guy because we don't do a ton of sweets around here. So he's not really big into cake and stuff, but I still don't want him to miss on the out on the experience. So that's what we'll do for my birthday evening, so he has something he can eat. And he's too young, thankfully, to care that it's not like what everyone else is eating. He's just happy to get something. So that's the good news there. So our plan with him is to probably once a year get him tested and just see how it goes. I'm hoping that the milk one goes away. I'm kind of not too hopeful that the peanut one will go away, but we'll see. I mean, there's new drug trials and medication that come out all the time. There's already a drug trial or like an FDA-approved medication to give to kids or to adults too for peanut allergies. So who knows what kind of medical advancements will be down the road when it comes to food allergies. And even environmental allergies for that matter. So I'm really hopeful that there may be a solution for him in the coming years. But for now, we just check our labels and we just avoid them. I think the peanut thing is something that is very prevalent because my dad will eat like peanut butter toast, or he'll have like a protein bar with peanut butter on top, and he's got a mustache, and he has kissed Lucas on the face before 2 times, and his face swelled up with welts in the spot where he kissed him. And so I'm fairly certain that that was from the peanut butter maybe in his mustache. So yeah, so that's the experience with that. So for now, we just avoid it until we find something that allows us to do otherwise. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you found it helpful. If you want more details, please feel free to check out the show notes. I have some Amazon affiliate links there to the products that I spoke about. Have a wonderful day.